Hello, welcome to the Gentle Rebel Podcast. My name is Andy Mort, and I love exploring what can happen when we slow down, when we find our gentle, natural rhythm and move at a pace that suits us best as individuals, so that we can experience more joy, more meaning, more creative purpose in our short and strange time together on this planet. Just quickly before we start this week, as I release this, there are just a few more days to get on board with the very first group voyage to Serenity Island, which is a six-week program where you get full access to the Return to Serenity Island course, as well as weekly workshops over 6 weeks, where I'll lead you through each part of the course, and we can explore together how you can use this to bring more calmness, more intentionality, more creative play into the most important areas of your life in the coming weeks and months. I'm feeling that this is really quite necessary at the moment as we kind of navigate our way through what seems to be the kind of reintegration into more normal modes of being in life again to some degree. It's going to be quite challenging. I don't know if you are feeling this, but quite challenging to maintain the right boundaries, to not get overwhelmed by the kind of change of pace and the level of socializing and that kind of stuff that can occur in some areas as we potentially move through the latter stages of like lockdowns and social restrictions and whatnot through the kind of COVID pandemic. The Serenity Island voyage, the group voyage, is going to be small. There are currently just a couple of people booked on. I'm not going to take on more than about eight, I don't think, but I don't imagine even that many will sign up. So yeah, I'm really just looking forward to it almost as a refuge point each week where we can explore our maps and think about how we want life to feel and to get the right terrains on that stuff, and yeah, and just see how it all comes together really. And yeah, so if you want to join with a small group of like-spirited people, then go to serenityisland.me. And I mean, I probably will run the program in the future, depending on how it goes. But for this first one, I wanted to give a big discount as well, because I'll be kind of ironing things out, getting a feel for how it all works and setting things in motion for the future. So if you want to be a part of that side of things as well, it'd be really appreciated. So yeah. serenityisland.me, that's M-E, to find out more. Cool, so yeah, on to this week's show. What a week. I've been learning a lot over the past 10 days or so about all kinds of things, not least where I need to be more gentle with myself, how to be more gentle with myself. I guess I've been challenging myself around that phrase as well. It's something that I say quite a lot to people. And I really mean it, like it's necessary in all manner of ways, because it's, I suppose, something we're generally not very good at doing in our kind of modern world. However, it's also easier to spot in other people being rough with themselves. It's easier to spot that, to tell them, you know, oh, just go easy on yourself, be kind, treat yourself with some compassion, you know, like, Don't beat yourself up, that kind of stuff. Not so easy to do it for ourselves, or even to recognize when we need to do it for ourselves. Even if we do know with our heads that we should stop beating ourselves up, actually just carrying that out in practice, like, what does that mean? It's not easy, is it? That feeling of, you know, not doing enough, not being enough of the person people need you to be. And even if you're kind of feeling proud of something that you've done, or like something's gone well, it's kind of just that tendency to jump into comparison with somebody else and to think, yeah, but look what they did. And they're doing things better. Or like, oh, I wish I'd tried it that way. You know, there's always that voice that tells us, you know, what we've done is not enough. And that sense of not enoughism is the kind of antithesis of gentleness with self. It's driven by that thing that we've talked about. I mentioned it in the last episode, that the kind of supposed to myth, or as I've kind of been thinking about it in the days that followed that episode, it's a supposed to mirage. You know, it's the thing that sometimes foreshadows that existential angst that we talked about. You know, I've done this, I've done that, I've tried all these things, and I'm still not where I'm supposed to be. And I guess if we kind of reverse back up the road from that point, it's where we say like, yeah, I'm doing this and I'm doing that, so hopefully it'll get me to where I'm supposed to be. And then you go down the road a little bit. Oh man, I've done that. I've done this. I'm still not where I'm supposed to be. I'm not feeling what I'm supposed to feel. I've not got to where I'm supposed to get. That sense of supposed to be is kind of different for all of us, but it's generally driven by that kind of desired feeling that you know, we'll finally feel happy, or we'll finally feel worthy or wealthy or healthy or valuable or whole or free, or we'll feel accepted or whatever, once we get to that thing. And we sort of trek along this hot tarmac road of mirages. There's mirages everywhere. You know, we're tired, we're dehydrated, we're in need of rest. And you see just up in the kind of on the horizon, there's this shape, there's this form. It's the promise of what we're looking for, what we need. It's right there, just a little further up the road. You know, it's buy that object, change your job, get more followers, make more money, take more risks, find a new partner, whatever it might be. You know, these mirages shimmer, they glisten, they attract us towards them on the horizon. They look like the answer, the solution, the missing piece. And it's real. It's real enough to be seen and to be believed. But, you know, and everybody else can see it too. That's the weird thing about mirages. You know, you can capture them on camera. And so it takes the form of something real. And so we kind of encourage each other. We're like, yeah, that looks real. That looks real. Yeah, go for it. So we head towards it. But then once we get there, it's like, pfft, we throw our hands at the thing. We grasp at it. But there's nothing there. It's just disappeared. Or has it? You look up and maybe actually, what's that up there? It's up the road a little bit. Maybe we just didn't come far enough. And so that mirage returns a little bit further up the road and beckons us on. And so that quest for the mirage, for the supposed to mirage, continues and continues until we sort of have that moment of like, is this real? Yeah, I want to kind of explore, similar to what we talked about in the last episode of kind of linear thinking, and to just twist that slightly and explore another angle of it. Because I was thinking, you know, we often hear like life's a marathon, it's not a sprint. I was thinking about that. I was like, I'm not sure it's either of those things. You know, in keeping with this whole idea of it not being linear, and you think about a marathon. I mean, I've never run a marathon. I've done half a marathon, as I've said before, not a half marathon but half a marathon, 2 weeks running, when I got 500 meters short 1 week and had to try again the next week. But yeah, it's like the idea that life would be a marathon is, I don't know, not a particularly appealing. It's supposed to be like an attractive way of looking at it, like take your time, pace yourself. But actually, like the barriers, the pain, the exhaustion that you go through in a marathon, I'm not sure that we need to treat ourselves like that or treat life like that. And yeah, this idea that it's some kind of race, I think herein lies one of the major problems. The language that we use in the way that we conceptualize life, in the way that we imagine it, you know, they call it a roller coaster, a journey, a series of peaks and troughs, a highway. Still not sure about those. You know, these metaphors all reinforce this sense that we walk along a thread. We walk along a pre-laid track between the beginning and the end, that we kind of start here, we finish there, along this chronological sequence of happenings. So it presupposes a finish line, a destination, an objective, something, you know, that kind of that past the mirages, through the mirages, like this road, this is taking us towards this grand destination, to the curtain. And And as we go through it, we keep reaching those mirages of empty promises. The things that we're told, this is going to make you whole, this is going to make you complete, it's going to make you happy. The things we told ourselves that would make us feel better. You know, if only I reach such and such a level of income, then I'll know I've made it. We hit the goal, but the feeling that was there before is still kind of there now. And you think, well, maybe I underestimated slightly. Just a little bit more than that. Yeah, maybe if once I get just a little bit more, then that'll be the thing. That's the thing that will make me happy. And this is not an issue for us to deal with as individuals. You know, I don't think it's not simply an issue of personal responsibility. And as I said in the drifting episode, it's not our fault. You know, it's literally how we've set society up. What the society we've inherited, the society that we reinforce. You know, we've set the world up to keep us trudging along hot tarmac roads, seeing mirages in the distance, grasping at them, only to see they've disappeared and they're now further up the track. You know, we attach our worth as people, our sense of meaning and our personal identity to the checkpoints along this great narrowing tarmac path that kind of is like specialized. Define yourself in tiny boxes and along real linear routes of identity. You know, and then we use those labels and those boxes to judge one another around, you know, where have they got to? How successfully have they got there? What are they doing in that situation? And over time, we're encouraged to stop asking gradually, you know, what are the possibilities for my blooming life and how do I want it to grow? Like this idea of life being an island is just sort of like, yeah, it's sidelined. You know, we seek instead to locate this pre-laid roller coaster, this race, these highway tracks. And we ask, okay, what am I supposed to do? I need to get on that track and I need to fit in. I need to do what I need to do in order to fit in around this track and follow this track in the way that it's supposed to be followed. And in so doing, we sort of trudge along these roads that take us away from ourselves, essentially. And we treat life like everything is a finish line. And we're constantly on this quest for a finish line that doesn't exist. So no wonder it's hard to be gentle with ourselves. You know, we're embroiled in systems and in processes that are designed to make us believe that our humanness is a problem to be solved. You know, all the core things that make life what it is, like change and loss and desire and disappointment and love and connection and grief and contradiction, all of these things are sort of painted as conditions to eradicate in our lives, as problems to solve, as things to overcome, rather than as things to accept and to kind of live with and work out how to live with in ways that just bring us to a sense of peace and acceptance with them. We build a linear framework of how things are supposed to be. Everything is packaged into blueprints and roadmaps that take us from here into there. And we're on this kind of constant pursuit of elsewhere. We're constantly needing to get elsewhere from anywhere but here. But life doesn't happen in straight lines, like not real life. It's not a road with those checkpoints to tick off. You know, while it may contain momentary elements of those kinds of things, life isn't a race. It's not a process. It's not a roller coaster. It's not a journey. And yet we're constantly trying to squeeze it into boxes along straight lines. And we use metaphors like roller coasters, like sat navs, you know, why, like that whole idea of like, I've heard it said, you would never go on a journey without working out your route to get there. So why don't you plan your life? It's like, I'm not sure they're the same kinds of things, but like this idea of you should think of setting a destination like a sat nav for your life. And these kinds of metaphors just like squeeze the life out of life. And I can see how they play a role in certain parts of the journey. But as we've explored, you know, in that sort of sense of the difference between conceptual and experimental ways of approaching things, like, yes, for conceptual people, you kind of need that sense of, okay, where am I going? And then working backwards in order to get there. But for everybody else, it's a case of like, actually, no, life unfolds in incremental blossomings and bloomings and seasonal, you know, progress and growth and all of that. And it's something that emerges over time. It's not something that we can really imagine where it's going until it kind of comes into being. And yeah, so I find these kinds of metaphors like slightly restrictive, because they represent the kind of the most explosively vibrant, uncertain and surprising adventure in linear tarmac terms. And I wonder whether to be truly gentle with ourselves, we need to do more than simply kind of have a rest on the side of the road, because that's sometimes how we think of it. It's like, be gentle with myself. I won't do a lot today, or, you know, I'll get back on it tomorrow. And maybe we need to do more than simply cut ourselves some slack and remind ourselves that we don't have to be perfect. You know, what if gentleness with ourselves started with a new relationship with our understanding of life itself, of the way that we conceptualize life? You know, being gentle with ourselves starts when we are gentle with life, when we're gentle with other people, when we're gentle with the stories that we tell, the expectations that we have, with our values, with our beliefs, with expectations, assumptions, judgments, relinquishing the power that our beliefs have over the story we tell ourselves about who we are and the stories that we tell ourselves about who other people are, and the way that we see ourselves, the relationship we have with our sense of value and worth in life. You know, it penetrates through all of those different levels of being. Gentleness with self is the acceptance of contradiction and fragmentation, you know, those things that make us human, not as something to fix, not as something to heal, but as something to dive into, to explore, to play with, to acknowledge, to accept. You know, do you ever feel like you want to stay in and go out at the same time? Do you want to be in a relationship and be alone? Do you want to believe but you want to doubt? Do you want a job and you want to do your own thing? Do you want to know who the killer was and you want the story to continue? You want to be a parent and you don't want kids? You want to go traveling and you want to set up home and settle into a community? You want summer and you long for winter? You want to know how the illusion was done and you want to believe in magic? You want them to say something and you want them to remain silent? You want to be seen and you want to stay hidden? It feels kind of good to write those down. I could come up with loads more. And here, I just let them sit. No judgment. No trying to fix it. No working out which one means more, which one is stronger. No, these aren't choices. These aren't options. They're truths. They're not reasons I'm broken. They're reasons I'm whole. We're full of contradictions, and we spend so much of life trying to reconcile them, trying to deny them, trying to work out which one we should follow, which one we should squash down, trying to heal them, rather than letting them breathe, speaking them aloud, acknowledging them, laughing with them, enjoying their beautiful messiness. When we bring them out, they don't have to try controlling us through the insidious means that seem to, you know, take over our lives when we deny them, when we attempt to believe that they aren't really there. We're not pulled towards the mirages or the healing, because those feelings, happy, worthy, wealthy, healthy, whole, free, accepted, they're no longer attached to impossibly reconciling the contradiction. We're already all of those things that we want, because we're a mess of confusion and contradictory desire. And weirdly, when we acknowledge that kind of level of chaos, we find a deeper sense of peace and clarity within ourselves. Life moves in spirals and patterns, orbits and cycles. It's like a song or a dance. You don't play a song in order to get to the end of it. You don't perform a dance in order to reach the kind of destination of it. Both are roots into engagement with awareness and presence and being. Connection within the flow of this moment, carried by sound and movement through cycles, measures, bars, rhythms and pulse. Music breathes, expanding and contracting. It merges moments of crescendo mixed with moments of calm, and it embodies the joy of contradiction. It can be both loud and quiet, fast and slow, jarring and serene. And it's in the very presence of these contradictions themselves that we find the balance and the beauty. Through the layers and the complexity, the contrasts and the cohesions, it breathes. There are times when things explode into life, you feel the hairs on the back of your neck stand on end in a piece of music, or when you get in, like, experience art in a really profoundly poignant way. But these inexplicable sound baths only make sense, only happen because they are in contrast to the rest of the piece, the rest of things. A crescendo is defined as much by its own kind of emerging, roaring energy as it is by the softness from which it has sprung. You know, I want the neck hair moments, but the only way that they feel good is in contrast to the calm, maybe even sludgy moments. I want all of these things. Music plays with fond memories, with nostalgia, with painful experiences. It engages our dreams. It connects our vision for what might become, and it evokes the hopes or fears we have about our place within such a vision. It all has a place. It all sits there. Nothing is wasted. Everything is breath, rhythms, and cycles. Music is life, and life is an island, a volcanic and seasonal landscape of becoming where past and future collide like tectonic plates beneath the surface. New seeds take root from past life, bursting through the cracks and soil in unexpected ways. Our stories are forged through our relationship with experience, and from this, acknowledgement of our deepest contradictions. Our stories write us as we write them. So to conclude, being gentle with ourselves, it can happen in all sorts of ways. But I'm starting here, you know, alighting some of the contradictions from my brain. These are things that can otherwise get kind of pushed down and glossed over. It's like cognitive dissonance, I guess. There's kind of this level of forced compliance. You know, when we do things that we don't want to do because we live in a society where we're told we have to, we feel like we should, you know, these are the supposed to mirages. You know, we're supposed to believe in the mirage myth so that we act in accordance with that belief and live as a proper functioning cog in the overall economic machine. You know, keep pursuing the thing. It's there somewhere. Keep going after it. Keep going, keep going, keep going. It's just a little further. And so, you know, perhaps that forced compliance reaches more deeply into us. It says you should be linear, focused, and know exactly what you want. And anything that stops that needs to be eradicated. But what if that's the very problem? That very idea causes the problem. This voice that says, I've identified the problem. You need to reconcile your contradictions and get clear on exactly what you want. Maybe that idea is the problem, and that we're quite able to function in sync with those wildly contradictory thoughts if we accept their presence in our lives. I mean, given that we have a limited time on this planet and our minds contain whole universes of potential, I would think it probably far more wild and fanciful to believe that we can happily constrain ourselves to single track roads, to constrain our minds to linear ways of just trodding through life along this really bleak grey tarmac road that's like, do this and then you can do that and then you can do that and then you retire and then you die. Like, what is that? You know, we've got whole universes inside our brains. And that question that we talked about last week, you know, where do you want to be in 5 years' time? Once again, it feels like the opposite of being gentle with ourselves, because it closes things down. It narrows pathways and possibilities. It shrinks the universe. And for a great many of us, massively increases in anxiety levels. But what do we do with those contradictions? You know, it's all well and good saying, yeah, like, get them out in the open, allow them to be. But what then? You know, is it? It's not realistic to think you can hold all of these things because, like, you know, we do have to make choices. We do have to travel with certain commitments, and you know, there are things that we are responsible for, and we make decisions about. Absolutely, yes. I'm not sure what the answer to that question is, but I have an inkling that we don't really have to do anything with them right now. Just acknowledge them. If they've never been aired before, just to let them breathe, to bring them to the surface and say, do you know what? I do want this and I want that. And that sounds like a massive contradiction. I'm not going to judge that. Honour it. Laugh with it. Just be like, well, that's kind of weird. Because actually they probably are signposting us to something deeper. But in order to get to that place, we've got to pull out that signpost. Don't overthink it. Don't analyse them. Don't choose between them. Allow them to be. I've got a feeling that in time, they'll maybe begin to dance together, to weave, to play, to show us that actually they're not contradictory at all. There's something else going on. I've seen this happen for myself. I've seen it happen in people that I've coached. I've seen it happen with people that I've spoken to. And there's all kinds of ways that people experience this, but it requires kind of faith and surrender. The morphing, the shifts, the magic all occur because the contradictions are no longer kind of competing beneath the surface. Because the thing is, whether we admit them or not, as humans, we are full of these contradictions. Most of the time, they pull at each other beneath that surface, leading us to the kind of the very self-sabotaging behaviours that we think are going to be solved by getting clear on the thing we truly want. But actually, what if the kindest thing that we can do for ourselves is to get clear on and to accept all of those contradictory, competing and conflicting things we want? What if we say, yeah, I want this and I want that, and not to then follow that with, but which one do I want more? Just to sit with that, I want this and I want that. And they seem like massively in contradiction to each other. This is what the kind of slow coaching journey is all about, really. It's leaving space around things. It's bringing them up and saying, do you know what? This is quite absurd. But to just sit with them for a while, not to force anything from them until they're ready to be kind of looked at and shaped and morphed. We might start to find that many of the rules that we are taught to believe exist are not actually real. Perhaps even our contradictions are playing by those rules. Perhaps that's what they're going to teach us. I want this and I want that, and I feel like this is a contradiction. But actually, when I look at it properly, I realise they're pointing to the same thing. And as we start to maybe see them play with each other and weave around one another and dance with each other, the rule book for our own life will change from the inside out. I don't know. We don't know how that will look. Can't really imagine that. But I think it's more often than not, those sorts of things happen as we bring out those things that we feel are not right, the things we feel we should kind of control or change or you know, no, that's, I shouldn't want this and that. Actually, what if this is the key? This is the key to some kind of great, I don't know, freedom. Again, as I've been exploring recently, this is really at the core of what motivated me as I imagined and I built the Return to Serenity Island course. Like, at its core, it's a spirit. It's got a spirit of gentleness and space to let go, to pick up, to lay it all out around the maps of yourself, to just see it like, okay, to play with it, to explore it, and to just imagine what it looks like on, you know, visually and in different kind of sensory, through different sensory experiences. So often I see things posted, like really well-meaning things that say stuff like, the only one getting in the way is you. the only one getting in the way of your dreams is you, or the only limitations in life are yours. There is your own. That's the thing that's stopping you from getting the things you want. And I get this. I do get it. I know that it's meant to be kind of rooted in an empowering message that, you know, if we change our mindset, then we can change our lives, whatever. And the things that we think hold us back are probably not as powerful as we think they actually are. And a lot of the times it's just the way we're thinking about the things or responding to things. Yeah, like, of course. But it always feels so heavy. It feels so cumbersome. You know, wow, like, oh, I'm getting in my own way. I'm limiting my own potential. Like, that's quite heavy to take on to yourself. Talk about, like, not being gentle with yourself. And now, like, the alternative isn't to adorn a cloak of, like, the victim mindset of, like, well, no, it's not. I'm not getting in my own way. It's them getting in my own. Of course not. Like, that's not it. Rather, it's to kind of, as I say, to pause, to slow down, to pause, to breathe, to just be, to acknowledge that life is hard and confusing and messy, and that we hold contradictions. We do get in our own way. Whether we know we get in our own way or not, like we will always get in our own way in certain ways, and feel the pressure to do what we're supposed to do in order to fit in. Like, these are all normal parts of being human. But to use all of this awareness to step into it, not to overcome it or to heal it, but to use it to add it to the map, to see, to identify the main terrains that we must tread in and around our the kind of island of our life, and to mix it in with the stuff that matters most. Our core values, the beliefs that we want to use as use to kind of power the important areas of our lives, and to see that blossoming, that blooming, that flourishing of our life from the inside out. You know, my map has all sorts of weird reminders on it. It's like boggy marshlands around like certain areas of it where I can see, like, I've written on like past disappointments, past regrets, things I've learned, like, and I've built alternative routes around those areas that I can then use as like, oh yeah, things I learned when I did that last time, actually doing this a little bit helps me, or speaking to this person. And like all of these alternative routes that we can take that we don't often remember because we get so bogged down in that boggy marshland, and we get so caught up in the limiting beliefs and the things that have gone wrong in the past. And so these roads around it, they're made from the stuff that I learned and the strength that I gained from past experiences. There are areas of imp sludge around important places on my map. You know, imps, just one of the little pesky characters that you'll find around Serenity Island. They're kind of like to make life more difficult. There's the troll of complexity. There's the quick fix fox. There's all sorts of little guys. But yeah, imp sludge is the stuff that causes like stodgy brain mush. You know, too much news for me, social media, comparison, like the comparison trap on social media, seeing people doing things and thinking, oh man, what, I need to do it like that. And yeah, just kind of getting waylaid, talking about things with the wrong person, you know, spending too much time with like energy vampires, too much time looking at screens, or the wrong time of day looking at screens, you know, all of that stuff that you kind of are aware of for yourself, and things you might not yet be aware of, but you can become aware of. And then, you know, there are bridges, there are zip wires that you can take over the sludge. There are tunnels underneath it. There's alternative ways around it. Like, that's what I love about the map. It's like it's creating something that speaks to you. Like, you find those routes and you identify practical ways around those things in order to get to the parts of yourself that you want to bring more of into the world. And so I guess when it comes to being gentle with ourselves, like, most of it comes back to one thing, which all of that represents, which is play, you know, to take ourselves less seriously and to play with the things that cause that seriousness, to engage with an experimental creative mindset with things that make us sludgy and anxious, not to conform to all that kind of all or nothing approach that says, you know, I've got to stop doing that thing if I'm going to succeed at this thing. And to dare I say, enjoy our contradictions, to laugh with our contradictions, to bring them out, to play with them, to allow them to sit there in their just mind-boggling, glorious complexity and confusion. You know, they're funny little guys. They're really, really interesting. And yeah, I mean, in preparing for this episode, I found it really fascinating to just get some of them out and to think, actually, that doesn't make me... I think there's a tendency to fear being a hypocrite if you say, I want this and I want that, and they are in complete contradiction with each other. Because it's not about that at all. It's about truth. And that is truth. And so I want to invite anyone who's up for it, have a go at writing some contradictions of your own. I don't know if you've done this kind of thing before. But yeah, just like some of mine might speak to you. There might be kind of the sorts of things that you have in you as well. Hopefully it's kind of stimulated some of your own as well. And if you want to, do feel free to share them with me. Email andy@andymort.com. I'd be really, really fascinated to know what yours are. Like, no pressure. Like, don't feel you have to email me at all. But I'd love to hear either what yours are or just your kind of reflections on the experience of doing it, and to know if you've kind of found any benefit from doing that, whether there's like a freedom or a peace. Like, that's what I found. It's just like, and I think the freedom and the peace comes from writing them down and not feeling like I've got to do anything with them, not feeling like, okay, now I've got them out, I need to say, right, that one's more important than that one. It's like, no, don't do that. Just allow them to be for a bit. They will work their way out in the right way in time. So yeah, I hope that makes sense. Feels like a bit of a heavy. Is this heavy? I don't know if this is heavy. It feels kind of cool, but yeah. So yeah, just before we finish, remind you about the Serenity Island group voyage sign up. Closing registration on Tuesday, 6th of April, 2021. So we'll be beginning sessions around the 8th of April. If you're listening after that point, you can still get hold of the course. And when you do, you'll basically in the future get the amount that you pay for the course knocked off future group voyages if you choose to kind of join one in the future. Go to serenityisland.me to find out more, as in serenityisland.me, Mike Echo. Also, a huge thank you and a welcome to Kino and Holly, who both became Patreon supporters in the past week or so. Really, really nice to have you on board and to connect with you there. I just wanted to officially and publicly express my gratitude to Kino and Holly for your support. It really does make a massive difference. It makes it possible for me to kind of keep doing these shows, to take more time over them, and to give them more thought and that kind of stuff. So thank you for being involved in that part of the Gentle Rebel ecosystem. If you listening want more songs and personal stories and unscripted philosophical fun and nonsense, then go to patreon.com/AndyMort, and for just $3 a month you get access to all the kind of extra stuff that I put out there, including new little bits of music and conversations about creativity, my creative process, and what's going on in life at the moment, and also other little projects I'm doing and the deeper challenges that we face alone together, and in whatever's going on in and around the world right now. I'm going to play this week's episode out with a song. I've not done one for ages and I feel like playing something, so I'm going to do that. I'll say goodbye afterwards rather than doing it now. I think that's what I used to do normally. So yeah, this is called Best Days and it's on the Arrow of Time EP, or a version of this. This is kind of me doing it stripped back with a loop pedal and a piano. So yeah, cool. You
take it one step at a time. Please do one call at a time, don't you? Thank you.
All right, thank you so much for listening today. I'd love to ask you a big favour just before we go. The best thing you can do to support the podcast and to allow it to find the ears of other people who are searching for help and support with the stuff that we talk about here is to go and give it a good rating. Leave a nice review wherever you are listening to this, wherever you listen to podcasts. That really helps to, just kind of raise the awareness of people for it and really helps. So grateful to all of you who have done that so far and to those of you who have shared it on social media and that kind of stuff. It really makes a huge difference. So thank you. All right, I'll be back again next time with another episode of the Gentle Rebel podcast. Until then, do remember that you are an artist, that the world needs your art. Now go and make somebody's day. Goodbye.
Angels in disguise, we can be, 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 we can all be angels in disguise.